Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Josh Gunter now.
I got to talk about my dad for a second. My dad is a pretty funny guy, and if you get to know him, he's always kind of trying to get at you at some point. He looks like a scary guy, but he's actually a pretty funny guy. Whenever I was growing up, there was something that he would do to me, and I wanted to know how he did it. Have you ever seen my dad take his finger off? Man, it used to blow my mind. And I do this every once in a while to some of the younger ones, and so I hope that they haven't reached the age to where they understand what I'm really talking about right now, and I can still do it to them without ruining it. But my dad used to get his finger and bend it, and get his other finger, and he would do this and be like, "All right, watch." And he would take his finger off, and I'd be there, and I'd be like, oh, "How does he do that? I mean, have you ever done that to a child?" I do it. I love doing it. All right, Jolynn, you ready? You want to see me take my finger off? You ready? Oh, I love that. It's like, how do they do it? How do they do it? Have you ever seen a magician do something, an illusionist do something? You're like, how do they do that? There was a TV show that came on several years ago, called The Masked Magician, and he would wear a mask so the other magicians wouldn't know who he was, and he would reveal all their secrets, and I loved it, because whenever I see a magician do something, I'm like, how? We'll get spiritual in a second, but I would just think, how do they do that? And it would irritate the fire out of me. Then all of a sudden, the masked magician came on, and he would do this trick and be like, how? And then he would show me. I'm like, that is just stupid. why couldn't I figure that out? I hate not being able to figure things out. Yeah, is anybody else testify? Anybody else that way? I hate not knowing. And so I remember watching these magicians thinking, or illusionists thinking, okay, I bet this is how they do it. And I try to figure it out. Sometimes I was right. Sometimes I was wrong. But I have a feeling like I would be that annoying kid in the crowd. And some of y'all, I don't want to hear an amen. But I would be that annoying kid in the crowd if when Jesus was walking around and he's like, he's spitting some dirt and he made some clay and he wiped it on a blind man and the blind man became healed. I'd be like, how did you do that? And so I'd be spitting on people left and right. I'd be like, if his spit can do it, maybe my spit can do it. You know, I would want to know how Jesus did it. I've always been so intrigued by these things and me not knowing and trying to figuring it out. And so today, the title of my sermon is, How Did Jesus Do It? How did he do it? You know, because if we really start thinking about Jesus, he did some amazing, amazing things. And that's probably my favorite thing that he ever did was huck a loogie in some dirt and wipe it on a blind man. Like, you know, here's the thing. A blind man can hear. Now, let's get real life here, okay? The Bible is real. These are real events that really happened. Can you imagine this blind man, Jesus, I want to be healed. Oh, Jesus is coming. Jesus, heal me. And Jesus walks up and says, okay, hey, I'm Jesus. Come over here. And he's like, well, okay, no, this isn't Jesus. This has to be Peter. Come on now. No, let's not be doing this. This can't be Jesus. He's about to hawk a loogie on me. I don't like this. Jesus spits in some dirt, wipes it up. Think about it. I mean, that's my favorite miracle throughout of all Scripture, I think. It's just funny to me. And you may be wishing Pastor Ashley was here by the end of the sermon. But it amazes me. Jesus did some amazing. There's a dead guy in a tomb for 4 days. I used to work at a funeral home, and if a person's, you know, Not to get all technical, but on the 4th day, if they weren't embalmed and it was hot inside, like it would have been where Lazarus was buried, and it was in the earth, so bugs would have been gross. I mean, but Jesus walks up on the 4th day and says, "Lazarus." I love how Josh Barnett puts this, youth pastor down in Hot Springs. He says Jesus yelled out, "Hey, Lazarus, stop being dead." Lazarus, he didn't really say, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And this dead guy woke up and he got out. How did he do it? How did he do it? I mean, you know, the people there was like, Jesus did some cool walking on water. I'm just going to preach a little bit. I'm out of Pastor Ashley and me and Pastor BJ. They are the better teachers. You'll get some point A, B, and C, or point 1, 2, 3 way better than when you're listening to them than you mean. I'm just going to preach to you a little bit. Jesus did some cool things. He walked on water. I've tried this. My dad tells a story whenever he was kind of a new Christian, and he was saved, and then he started going to a spirit-filled church, and it was like an old-fashioned spirit-filled church. And so he's just thinking, I'm going to do it. And one day there's a stream, a big puddle of water. I mean, not just a like a pond. There's a little creek bed and a pond. And he's on this rock, this cliff. He's like, all right, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you walked on the water. I believe I can do the things that you say I can, that you did. And so I believe that you're real. And I'm going to, out of faith, I'm going to walk on water. This is when he was like a very young baby Christian. All right. And he, all right, in Jesus' name. You know, and the water happened, and he says, he stands up and just goes, I praise you anyway, God. You know, you're still God. But Jesus could do these things. Jesus did amazing, miraculous things. And let me tell you, in case you didn't know, just an extra tidbit, he's still in the business of doing extraordinary, amazing things. But through the scripture now, we don't have to be like some young man watching Jesus do these things 2,000 years ago. Through scripture, it has been revealed to us how he did it. How he did it. If you have your scripture, I have your scripture, that's what it is, scripture. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to the book of John, chapter 2, and we'll get there in a second. But Jesus did amazing things, and there are, I said John chapter 2, I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 2. Jesus did these amazing things while he walked on this earth. He raised the dead, walked on water, calmed a whole storm and waves and bad things going on. Jesus just said, hey, peace, be still. Settle down. And even the winds and the waves said, okay. And they submitted. And they just did what Jesus said to do. See, Jesus walked in a certain amount of authority while he was here. He walked in the authority of Father God. And he did, again, amazing things. But here is a piece of scripture, and the next scripture I'm about to give you. When we read this, I just say, how? How? I don't understand how you can say this through scripture. I ask the Holy Spirit, how can you say this to us today? I don't understand. But let's read it together. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 says, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. Okay, I get that. That's encouraging. That's exciting. Okay, if I keep his word, then the love of God is right here. And that's okay, we can do that. But then we keep reading. And it says, by this we may know that we are in him. Now this is the scripture that's like, how? How, God, am I supposed to do that? Most of you probably cheated and read ahead, but we'll go ahead and read it together. Verse 6, whoever says he abides in him, talking about Jesus, says they ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And that's how Jesus, okay, that's what my dad was thinking whenever he's like, okay, I'm walking the same way Jesus walked, I'm going to walk on water, and it just didn't work out for him. But this scripture does tell us that we are to walk in the same manner in which Jesus walked. And that is very intimidating for me. Maybe not you. Maybe those who are like super Christian, have been Christian for like 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You've been a Christian longer than I've been alive. You may be like, that's not a scary scripture. But there are some of us who we read this and we're at this point of life saying, how are we supposed to walk in the same manner in which Jesus walked? Now turn over to an even more intimidating scripture in the book of John, like I said earlier. John chapter 14, and we're going to read, start in verse 12 here in a second. And while you're turning there, I just want to welcome, I saw some new faces here. We're very happy that you're here with us today. And I hope through the worship experience and through the word today, if you don't have a home church, I hope you just found one, because we are very happy that you're here and excited that you joined us today. All right, so chapter 14, verse 12 is where we're starting. The scripture says, this is Jesus speaking, says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." Okay, so now it's not just like walk in the same manner that he walked in. It's not just, hey, I walked in love, so walk in love. Like, I can get that. Now, it's not just, all right, I showed compassion, and I gave to the needy, and I helped the poor. But now scripture is telling us, Jesus himself is saying, you will do the same works that I do. Works and mannerisms are a little different. Walking in a mannerism of Jesus would show compassion and love and things like, but to do the same works that Jesus did, heal the blind, the lame, get up and walk in Jesus' name, some of these things are, they're amazing to think, but they're intimidating, that we are to do the same works that Jesus did. Look, and then it goes on to say something that it's just hard, you know, there's scripture that's just almost hard to believe sometimes, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us, but it says, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. It goes on to say, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in him, in the Son, and if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So church, we're really quiet in here today. And maybe I haven't said anything that's worthy of an amen. But is anyone else in kind of the same boat as I was in thinking, okay, God, how? How are we supposed to do the exact same things and even greater things than Jesus did? You know, I don't know very many card tricks, but there's one trick I know. And I pretty much, if you've been around me playing cards or something, this is the only trick I've showed you because it's the only one I know. But the only way I learn how to do that trick is by someone showing me how to do it. Okay, how did you do this? Okay, now that I know how my buddy, his name was Dylan, he was amazing at these card tricks. He did this card trick and he showed me how to do it. And when I knew how he did it, then I could do it. And it's the same thing with Jesus. So the same thing, see, we ask ourselves, okay, how am I supposed to do this, God? I'm just a man. I'm just a truck driver. I'm just an electrician. I'm just a teacher. I'm just a doctor. How am I supposed to do these things? Well, we go to Jesus' word and read about his life and say, how did he do it? And believe it or not, scripture shows us how he did it. So let's. I'm just going to use scripture today because Joshology just isn't much fun. And I screw up when I just give my opinions and my thoughts. But let's look at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, we start seeing Jesus at the very beginning of his ministry. And if we want to know how Jesus did these things, we've got to go to the beginning before he ever did them. Because we so badly, if someone has cancer, we so badly want to go to them and be like, all right, cancer, you've got to go in Jesus' name. We so badly want to do these miracles and these signs and these wonders, but we don't go to the very beginning of where Jesus started his ministry and say, okay, I'm going to do what Jesus did. I want to experience what Jesus experienced. I want to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked in. And if we go to this point in time in Jesus' life, we see where his ministry first started. And we so often want to do these things without going and experiencing what he experienced. So let's look at this. And this sermon today isn't about, okay, if you're baptized in water, then you can start doing everything that Jesus did. That's not what I'm talking about. But here in this scripture, in chapter 3, we see John the Baptist out at the Jordan, and he's baptizing people. And all of a sudden, Jesus walks up, and John had already said, you know, I'm not even worthy to untie the sandals of the one who comes after me. I must decrease, he must increase. I'm not worthy of any of those things. But Jesus shows up, surprises John, and says, I want to be baptized. And John goes, well, that's not right. I want to be baptized. I need your baptism. You don't need my baptism. He goes, but I do it to fulfill all righteousness. And we just pass through some of these things. And then look at verse 21. Let me just read and let the Bible speak for itself. It says, verse 21, chapter 3, "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were open, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, 'You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" All right, so the situation here, Jesus is on the scene, and his first desire is, "I want to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness." We read that in the other Gospels. Here we don't see that, but in the other Gospels, John asks, "Well, why are you doing this?" He says, "We got to fulfill all righteousness." And so his desire is to fulfill all righteousness and to obey the Lord and live a life pleasing to God. Although he was the Son of God, he still wanted to do these things. And then we see when he did that, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit fell and rested on him. Then we keep going. Here it says descended upon him in bodily form. And now let's skip over to chapter 4. So after the Holy Spirit fell on him, and after he was anointed by the Spirit, it wasn't just like a little dove flying up and landing on Jesus' head. Okay, I remember growing up, and my dad would go preach at several different churches, and on the baptism, in a lot of these churches, there's a picture of Jesus and a dove sitting on his head. I remember thinking, man, that had to be weird. But it says, in the likeness of a dove coming down and descending upon him. And John later says that God had told John that when the Spirit descends on him and stays on him, falls on him, rests on him, goes with him, then we'll know that he's the anointed one, the Messiah. All right, now, we're looking at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Now turn over to chapter 4. After the Holy Spirit had rested on him, it says in verse 1, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit." Everybody say full. So we could say, since the scripture here says that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit descended upon him like a dove when he was baptized in water, we could say he was filled with the Spirit, right? He was filled with the Spirit of God. And then we keep reading, and it says, he was full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit. Now everybody say led. Okay, he was filled, then he was led. Filled, and then led. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. Now we all know this story. Jesus was baptized, but before he started his ministry, the Spirit led him, what Scripture just says, led him into the wilderness. What did Jesus do when the Spirit led him? What? He went. You see, when the Spirit led him, he didn't say, "Okay, I'm going to do it later." Didn't say, "Okay, 40 days, I got to prepare myself for 40 days. Okay, I'm going to start eating yogurts and this and that, and I'm going to try to prepare myself for this 40-day fast that I'm about to go on." But the Spirit led him, he went. He was obedient. When the Holy Spirit told him to go, all right, I'm going. And so the next thing we see, he went. Okay, so I'm going to break this down as we keep going. He was filled with the Spirit. He was full of the Spirit. Then he was led by the Spirit, and then he went. He obeyed the Spirit. So again, obedience. He wanted to fulfill all righteousness out of obedience. Then when he was full of the Spirit, when he was able to hear the Spirit in such a way, when he was led by the Spirit, he was obedient and he went. Now here's what's really cool. I'm not preaching about the temptation of Jesus. Let's skip through that and look at the very end in verse 14, the end of the temptation. After he had been tempted, after he was obedient to what the Spirit of God told him to do, check this out. This is just, whenever I got a hold of this, it literally changed my life. I became a new person when I heard this teaching, whenever I understood the importance of these points in Scripture. And when I started to dissect these Scripture, I'm telling you, if you get a hold of this today, it will change your life. It will set you on a path of power. It'll set you on a path of anointing. And it will radicalize who you are. Okay, so after he was full of the Spirit, and he was obedient when the Spirit led him. Verse 14, I love this. And Jesus returned in the what? Okay, This sound, y'all are getting crazy in this Presbyterian church this morning. Let me tell you, the scripture says Jesus returned in the power. Everybody say power. Power. If you're not going to say it on yourself, I'm going to have to just like, okay, now let's say power. Okay, so he was filled, then he was led, and after he was obedient, he returned in the power. See, the Bible doesn't say that Jesus walked in the power before this point. You don't ever read about little, small, 12-year-old Jesus healing someone. You don't see that. You don't see little 12-year-old Jesus going up to a blind man and healing that blind man because it didn't happen. We don't see these things. What we see is after this point, then Jesus starts doing signs and miracles and wonders. And it was after he was filled with the Spirit, after he was obedient and followed the Spirit's leading, and then from that point, he was walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we start seeing these miracles. He casts a demon out. He heals a blind man. He starts preaching with authority and power. He starts healing many. Just in chapter 4 alone, after he returned in the power, he cast out demons. He heals a man with an unclean spirit. He heals many people, verses 38 through 41. Then he starts preaching. And then you keep reading the life of Jesus, and it's like, oh my gosh, he did some amazing things. How he did it, he answers the question right here in chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus went into Nazareth, verse 16 it says in chapter 4, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it was written. All right, so this is Jesus preaching his first sermon after coming back in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He unrolls it and says, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor." Come on, somebody say amen. "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And all the eyes were on him in the synagogue. They were fixed on him. And then he stood up to say, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." He goes, so again, imagine this situation, a bunch of Jewish people in the synagogue, nothing really ever changes, everything's the same, it's the same routine over and over. We're going to say our prayers, we're going to read our scroll, the Pharisee, the Sadducee is going to get up and teach a little bit of the law, and we're going to, yeah, that was good, we're going to go home and eat our unleavened bread and drink our wine. But this day was different, because there was an anointed man of God come in. See, we've got to realize that Jesus was a man. Everything that Jesus did it as man. He didn't do it as God. The Bible says that he left his heavenly glory to become lower than the angels. He became like us. And everything he did it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he could not have done those things. If he wasn't filled with the Spirit, if he wasn't led by the Spirit and then obedient to the Spirit, he wouldn't have returned from the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about that for just a second. When he goes to be tempted for the 40 days, if Satan was there, he says, all right, make some bread, and he made the bread and he ate it, and he wasn't obedient to the Holy Spirit, and see, he knew Scripture, and if he wasn't obedient to the Scripture, we wouldn't read the Scripture. In fact, we wouldn't read any of the Scripture. But we wouldn't have this scripture that says, and he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he started to do these things. I'm here to tell you how Jesus did it was because he was anointed by the Spirit of God. Right? He was anointed by the Spirit of God. And no one argues that point. No one argues that, yeah, Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. And if he wasn't, this scripture's a lie. But we know that it's obviously not. So he was anointed. So here's what my question was. I remember thinking, God, how did you do these things? And then whenever I realized that it all goes around to the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is God. And he, I believe, is the most neglected part of the Trinity than any other Everyone's like, oh yeah, Jesus. I'm in Christianity. Everyone's like, oh, I love Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the King. And everybody's like, oh yeah, Father God, he's awesome. He's the creator. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. Oh, that Holy Spirit stuff, I don't want to talk about that. Really? He is the most neglected. And the Bible tells us that we can even grieve the Holy Spirit. And I believe that he is the most grieved, because there are so many churches, and I've been in conversations with people who say, don't talk about that Holy Spirit stuff. Okay, don't talk about God who's here with us today. The fact of the matter is, Jesus isn't here today with us. There are times where he may appear to someone, like he did Paul and Saul, or Saul on the road, but it's the Holy Spirit that allows you to know God. It's the Holy Spirit that whenever you get saved, you are born again. It is that Spirit. See, Jesus doesn't leave the right hand of the Father and come live in your heart. That just doesn't make sense. We don't, Jesus, I accept you into my heart, and now Jesus is living in my heart. There's not a little Jesus. There's not like a little room where Jesus, and I've heard sermons that talk about that, little room where Jesus stays in your heart. No, that's not scripture. That's not doctrine. That's not truth. Okay, what happens is when you get born again, the Spirit of God comes in you and is upon you. But let me show you something. That's not the same as being filled with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Acts. I got a kick on this in youth. And before I even told the youth group to get their Bibles open, some of them were already turning to the book of Acts. Because really, that's the beginning of the New Testament. That shows us the beginning of the church. The others was Old Covenant. Jesus, everything he did was done in the Old Covenant. When Jesus came around and he died and ascended into heaven, that became the New Covenant. Anyway, chapter 2. You know, in the book of Acts, we read about Paul and John and Peter doing these amazing, amazing things. We read about them, and they did what Jesus did. You know, they walked out the scripture in 1 John, you are to walk in the manner in which you walked. They live out the scripture in the book of John, chapter 14, that says you are to do the works that he did, and even greater works than that you'll do. Peter, I don't ever read about Jesus' shadow healing someone. I don't read about that. Peter walked around, and they would even lay their sick on the streets just that his shadow, man, that would be so cool. I would, oh man, that walking in such an obedience to the Holy Spirit that my shadow healed people. That's what Peter was doing. So they got this. And so my question was, how did Jesus do it? Okay, he was filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, obedient to the Spirit, and then he was walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, then how did Peter and John and all those guys do it? Believe it or not, the exact same way Jesus did it. Now, I'm not talking about just speaking in tongues today. That's not the object of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is not, and I know there are some in here who are baptized in a spirit, they spoke in tongues all the time. We have some that's like, no, we don't talk about that. And so I'm just here to tell you to maybe correct some traditional teaching or whatever. Tongues isn't all, that's not the only thing that goes along with the Holy Spirit. There's much, much more that comes along. And the Bible even says, if you speak in tongues but you don't love people, you're just a clanging cymbal, just annoying in the ears of God. So that's not what I'm talking about. Now, I believe in that. I do that. Paul says, don't neglect that. Don't say that it can't be done in church. He even says that I do it more than any of you. But that's not what we're looking. See, I want the works of Jesus in my life. I want to walk in the power that he walked in. And I believe that's your desire too. I believe it's your desire to walk in the same manner and in the same, doing the same works that Jesus did. And if that's not your desire, I want to encourage you. Make that your desire. Start reading about Jesus and the works of the apostles, and it will start a flame in you. Okay, here we go. How did Peter, how did John, how did all those guys do it? I said chapter 2. But I'm going to, you can turn there if you want to. Chapter 1, Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, and he talks to his disciples, and he goes on to say in chapter verse 5, He says, John baptized you with water, and you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. See, the water baptism of Jesus, that after doing that, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, because that's the baptism means covering, is what that means. And so when Jesus, when the Holy Spirit rested on him and stayed upon him, descended upon him, it means it covered him, it baptized him. And then here we see, you've heard that you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? See, that's still what they're wanting. Even the disciples, after seeing Jesus die on the cross and resurrect, they're still thinking, all right, so are you going to get rid of the Romans at this point? Like, is Israel going to be restored again? And Jesus, if I was Jesus, I would have said what he said before to Peter. Peter, just shut up. Now, obviously, he didn't say it quite like that. But he did tell Peter before, Satan, get behind me. But if it was me, thank God I'm not Jesus. But at that point, I would have been like, you still don't get it? No, that's not what I'm doing. But here's what Jesus replied. Here's what he said. He says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Verse 8, but you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. By show of hands, I want to see who will admit, I want the power of God. I want the power of God in my life. Awesome. Well, the Bible here tells us, Jesus himself tells us, that you will receive that power when the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witness, so on and so on and so forth. Here's what we see. Peter, James, and John, if they had died at that moment, now, obviously, they weren't going to die at that moment, but if they had, you know where they would have went? Anybody know where they would have went? They would have went to heaven. Jesus had ascended at that time. When people died at that point, they no longer went to paradise, Abraham's bosom. They went into heaven. Now, we're getting kind of deep tonight. We're not just talking about the spiritual milk. I think sometimes, not this church, but a lot of churches, they only deal with salvation and only deal with the milk of the gospel. Let's go deeper tonight. Let's start cutting the steak right here, okay? At this moment, people were going into heaven. Now I'm hungry for steak. Dadgummit. No, but don't be thinking about lunch now, fellas, okay? But let's stay tuned in with the word that the Holy Spirit has for us today. And so we go in. They were saved. They were Christians. They were under the new covenant at this time. Yet they weren't walking in the power. There was an experience that they had yet to experience. And then in chapter 2, check this out. The Holy Spirit didn't come down in the form of a dove. The Holy Spirit's not a dove. It was just a symbol. But this time, he comes and rests on them in the form of fire, which is, that's cool. That's what I want. I want the Holy Spirit fire. I mean, the dove is cool and pretty and stuff, but I really want that fire, you know? Anyway, says chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled, again, there's that filled, the entire house that they were sitting, and then divided of tongues as a fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. So we're seeing a different symbol. We're not seeing a dove, but we're seeing the Holy Spirit. We're seeing the exact same thing at the beginning of the apostles' ministry as we saw in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And so whenever we see this, that's why the apostles were able to walk in the power. We see the Holy Spirit descend and rest on Jesus. Now he's descending and resting on the apostles. And it says in verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in new tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And if you keep reading the book of Acts, it goes on to this third point that I'm making. Remember, Jesus was filled, he was led, then he was obedient, then he returned in the power. At this point, the apostles, they were filled. And if you keep reading, you see that they were very obedient. When the Holy Spirit told them to do something, they did it. When they were going somewhere and the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go there, they were obedient and said, okay, I'm going somewhere else. They were obedient. They walked in that obedience. So they were led by the Spirit and the things that they did. And they started doing what Jesus had previously told them to do. Once the Spirit falls on you, then you can go off and to preach to Samaria and preach all these different places and preach the gospel, teach them everything that I've taught you to do. So they started doing what Jesus told them to do. And then you keep reading, and it's just amazing. In the chapter 2, after Peter had spoken to all these people and everyone was saved and great things were going on, the Bible says that and many signs and wonders started happening at the hands of the apostles. At these men who were there, not just them, but Stephen and some of these guys, great miracles started taking place. Barnabas, these guys, great miracles were happening. The lame beggar was healed in chapter 3. If we could just read the book of Acts, I think it convicts me. It encourages me. It leads me to want more and more. But we see them doing amazing things, so they walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So my question from the very beginning was, how did Jesus do it? Simple answer, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But that's easy to say, okay, well, then I just need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't just stop there, okay? We operate, I'm going to give you step 1, 2, and 3, and that's kind of a, okay, if you do this and do this and do this, and there's 3 steps of self-victory, stuff like that, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, scripturally, I see some things that I think we can learn from. Jesus was wanting to fulfill all righteousness, and he was seeking God, and I want to do what you want me to do. I'm going to be obedient, so obedient. Then the Spirit fell on him, and then as he led, he did. So here, let's put this in our day, in our time, in our life. If you are seeking righteousness, and you're not allowing tradition of man to shape you, but you are seeking the Lord, and you are asking, Holy God, I want all that you have for me. I want to fulfill all righteousness. I don't want to just get saved and get my ticket to heaven, and I'm going to fill in the box. Yeah, if Jesus is Lord, we want more than that. If Jesus is Lord, we want all that he has for us. If we're not just doing that, we're saying, I want more, God. I'm seeking you. The Bible says to seek him earnestly with your whole heart, to earnestly desire the higher gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or 13, one of those. Says, earnestly seek him. But the reason why we don't see some of these miracles and we're not operating in the works that Jesus operated in is because we're not seeking earnestly. But those who do seek him earnestly will find him, the Bible says. And as you seek him, you say, God, now that I have been revealed in Scripture, we're not going to have a big altar call today. Everybody's line up. All right, you want baptized in the Spirit? Let me come by and hit you on the head, and you're going to be baptized. That's not what I'm doing. I want to plant some seeds in you that will cause you to study. Those who say, I'm not sure about this, let me just give this word to you. You go home, you study it, and you start seeking God, and you start seeking all that he has for you. All right, so what we see here is, I just started going on a rant and kind of got off where I was going. But what we see is that it's for us. We can do it if we want to operate in the works that God has for us. We seek him. Then the Holy Spirit will do something that's different from salvation. The Holy Spirit will literally descend upon you and fill you with himself. And it's an amazing thing. And you may start speaking in tongues. It's kind of a weird thing, but I'm not going to say it's not weird because it's weird. If you've ever heard somebody speaking in tongues and you don't really know what's going on, you're like, that's weird. I don't understand. But that may start happening. But don't hide yourself and say, I'm refusing that. I'm not going to have anything to do with that. But I'm going to seek you. So because I want the power. But if you're going to walk in the power, you needed to go through the steps that the apostles and Jesus went through. I believe that. And if somebody can show me scripturally something different, then that's cool too. But I don't see that in Scripture. So what we need to do is get in this place where we start seeking. You know, we can say, well, if you just say the name of Jesus, that'll work. Because that in John chapter 14, it says, ask anything in my name and it'll be given to you. So if we want the works, and that's what we're talking about, how did Jesus do it? How can I do it? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. How can I do the things that Jesus did? Well, John 14 says, ask anything in my name and it'll be given to you. So just say the name of Jesus. And I've also heard that preached. Just speak the name of Jesus. But do you know in Acts chapter 19, you can turn there if you want, Acts chapter 19, verse 11, there's a group of people who just spoke the name of Jesus. And their result was not the result of the Apostle Paul. In fact, let's go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Paul was a murdering sinner, awful. back when he was Saul. He gets saved, and he starts seeking righteousness. And the Bible even says, if we read about his conversion, when the brother came in, it says that he was baptized there. He was filled with the Spirit. Now let's keep going. Verse 11 says, "And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them." Man, okay, Paul walking around, and actually, I have one. I'm just going to pull it out real quick. Somebody, boy, Paul, he's hot. He's speaking in the streets of Jerusalem. The sun's beating down on him. Man, oh. Walking away, and somebody's like, "That touched Paul's skin. My grandma's sick." Touch grandma, and grandma's made well because of the faith and the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit that was on Paul because that handkerchief touched his skin, he was able to be healed. That's amazing. That's things even greater. See, Jesus came up and the woman touched just the fabric that had touched him, and she was healed. The woman who with the issue of blood. And then now that's going on through Paul. But it's not just because he spoke Jesus' name. Let's look at what happens after this. Verse 13. "Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims.' Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, 'Okay, I know Jesus, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?' And that man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled," was exalted. Okay, so check this out. People want to just invoke the name of Jesus. Oh, I got a sword back. Oh, Jesus. I'm just speaking Jesus' name over this right now. Now, there are power in your words. Don't get me wrong. But without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus, now this is going to sound all blasphemous and sacrilegious, but just because you use Jesus' name doesn't mean there's power in it. If that was true, then these itinerant Jewish exorcists would have walked up and says, "In the name of Jesus, look, I'm invoking the name of Jesus." The demons would have been like, "Ah, he said Jesus." That's not what happens. See, Paul was doing these things. Peter, John, who were casting out demons. See, the Great Commission doesn't just say go preach the gospel. It also says those who believe that they will cast out demons and they will be and that serpents can bite them and it won't even hurt them. They can do these signs and wonders for those who believe. But it's not just because they speak Jesus' name. There has to be an anointing on their life, as there was in the life of Paul, as there was in the life of Peter. So here's church, here's the word. I prayed and I sought the Lord's counsel. I would dare to say that I prayed more than you did about what was supposed to be spoken on today. And I've sought the Lord and I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to me that there are some of us in here that we've been wanting the power, but we weren't wanting the steps it takes to receive that power. We want the miracles. We want those things, but we're saying, "No, God, that Holy Spirit stuff isn't for me." That's for those people like Josh. Those are for those people like Millie. Those are for those people like Patty. Those are for those people like Kelly Daniel. So, see, that's not the word of God. That's not the Spirit's desire. The Spirit, he shows no partiality on anyone. It doesn't matter if you're an extrovert in your action or an introvert, if you are a quiet person, if you are loud, "I'm going to be doing this in worship," or "I'm going to be sitting here doing this in worship." It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit wants to anoint you and enable you and lead you, and as you are obedient, give you his power. But we also often forget the obedient part. I've seen it through the years. Somebody's baptized in the Holy Spirit. And from that point on, it's just like salvation. They, oh, I get saved, now I want to go do whatever I want to do. And they never really make Jesus Lord. I've seen on the same spectrum people who get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit fills them, and the Spirit surrounds them, and then they go off, and they're not obedient, and so they don't walk in power. But the power comes when obedience is there, when obedience is present. And so just because you're speaking in tongues and you're filled with the Spirit doesn't mean you're operating in power. It comes through obedience, by making Jesus Lord of your life. See, that's our vision this year. Jesus is Lord. Is he really? Are you obedient? Are you doing what he's called you to do? If he tells you to speak to that Muslim who you work with, are you doing it? If he tells you to give to this needy person who doesn't deserve it, but I'm going to give to him because the Holy Spirit told me to, are you doing those things? Or are you so set in American culture that I'm not saying go give to everyone, that's not what I'm saying. If the Holy Spirit tells you to, you better do it. And if you are obedient, you'll start seeing your prayers becoming a lot more powerful. The Bible says that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much in the King James Version. In ESV or maybe some others, it'll say, the prayers of a righteous man, a man standing right with God, his prayers are powerful. Whenever you're praying for something, do you see them working? Ask yourself, am I a righteous man? Am I walking in righteousness? Am I doing what God has called me to do? Because this isn't Joshology. This isn't, I'm trying my utmost to not bring in interpretation, like Josh's interpretation. I'm trying very hard not to do my flavor. I just want to preach Scripture to you and what Scripture says and reveal this to you so that you can operate in power. Because my heart, I believe it is the heart of everyone in here, is for the fathers in this church to start operating in power. The mothers of this church to operate in power. And it all goes back to the obedience. I believe, being filled with the Spirit, being anointed, being led by him, and operating in the power. If you want to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be a good man, you can be a good woman, you can still vote right, you can still protect your family without these things. But I'm talking about that powerful works that Jesus did. I'm not talking about being a Jesus follower. I mean doing what he did. And if that's what you want today, I'm going to pray. And we're about to stand. We're about to close. Give me 5 more minutes. We're going to pray. If Scott could go ahead and put on some worship music, we're going to pray. And we're just going to ask God, I want the power. I want the power. And since we've already talked about the power, we know how that comes. And if you're willing, just say, God, I'm obedient. I'm seeking all righteousness. And I want to be filled with your Spirit so that I can be led by your Spirit so that I can return in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.